Hello, I'm Pastor Dan Troutman of the Heritage Baptist Church, located at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, Flemington, New Jersey. The message you're about to hear has been recorded at one of our weekly church services. I trust that as you listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, you will be edified in the faith and you will be enriched in your walk with Christ. At the close of this recording, I will speak further with you about knowing for sure that you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and I'll share with you more about our church ministry. May the message indeed be a blessing to your heart.
So, Jack, if you would, please, would you read verses 1 through 3?
Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king.
Okay, another one. That's the end.
He built Ebal and restored him to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecoliah of Jerusalem.
All right, thank you. Who'd pray for our Bible study tonight? Well, thank you, Robert. Would you pray for our Bible study, please? Amen. Thank you, Robert. As we continue through this Bible study, we're looking here at the life of Uzziah. And a matter of fact, they say that things come in threes. Did you ever hear that? Oftentimes when they say things come in threes, is that a good thing or a bad thing usually? Usually it's a negative thing. However, we're going to be looking tonight and we're going to see three things that are good in succession. Then we also see three things that turn bad. And that's in the lives of the king. This we're looking at. Remember, we've been taking a study through the kings of the southern kingdom. And we get now to the life of Uzziah. He is the 10th king that we're going to be looking at. And when you think of his life, who was his father? Well, Amaziah. Who was his father? Joash. So you have a grandfather, Joash. You have a father, Amaziah, and then you have a son, Uzziah. Now, between these three, you're going to see a pattern that is now giving us a triplet. And the pattern is, you can see in your outline, these three kings all started out good. Now, when I say good, I'm not talking about they were on their best behavior, they were decent and this. No, they started out seeking God. They started out living for God. They started out leading for God. I don't know about you, but it sure is good when you have leadership that is leading for God, as opposed to those who lead for themselves or lead into sin. But these men, all three of them, Joash, Amaziah, and now Uzziah, start out good. However, what happened to Joash? Did he stay on a right path? No, he did not. How about Amaziah? Did he stay on a right path? No, he veered off as well. Joash, Amaziah, and now Uzziah. Well, you would hope that there'd be a breaking of the cycle. May I ask this question? If you're sitting here tonight, you might be a second or a third generation Christian. You know what I mean by that? How many of you here had parents and grandparents that were saved and knew the Lord and were born again? You had parents and grandparents. Okay, good. So that means there are some sitting here who have parents. How many had parents who were saved? Okay. How many of you, you are the first of your generation to be saved? Okay. Good. You know what's interesting? I am now in my position part of a three-generation cycle. Four, actually. My mother was the first in our family. And I think to myself, being saved, and now my children, now the grandchildren. I would pray and trust that I would live in such a way that the impact upon my children would leave an impact upon their children, which would then leave an impact upon their children and their children, which means I'd be a great, great grandfather if I live that long or if the Lord doesn't return. So let me ask you a question. What are you doing to leave a lasting impact upon the generation that's coming after you? Think about that. I challenge the children tonight about considering God and trying to tell them that God is pure spirit, He's invisible. And learning more about the Bible is how they're going to develop a learning, and then they can tell others. So when we think about this, it could be different. So when you think about this man named Uzziah, and he's going to start off right with God, doing right, but he's going to end up wrong, on the wrong track. Why would you think he would not consider the examples before him and say, oh, I don't want to go in that direction. I want to go in a right direction. I think there are times when there were well intentions as far as doing right. However, every one of us have a sin nature. Every one of us have an enemy. His name is Satan. And every one of us can be bombarded by worldly influences. And so we have to stay strong. And that's the title and the message tonight. Stay right by avoiding the perils of pride, which we're going to see with the life of Uzziah. Uzziah turned because of pride. His father, Amaziah, turned as well after pride because, remember, he was so victorious in battle. And then he went and he gave a little bit of a threat, if you will, to the king of the north. Remember what the king of the north said to him? He sent back a message and said what? In a parabolic form, he said what? Yeah, basically, stay home. Because he says there was a thistle that said to the cedar tree, and who was he implying was the weed, the thistle? He was implying that Amaziah. And who was he implying that was the great cedar tree, immovable? Himself, the king of the north. Well, you know how that ended up. Amaziah died. As a matter of fact, he died because of a conspiracy, and his own servants killed him. Same thing happened to his father, Joash. So tonight we come to the man named Uzziah. So with that in mind, let's take a look at his life. Number one, verses 1 through 15, he has a very successful beginning as a king. And verses 1 through 3 are read. Incidentally, do you know what the word Uzziah means in the Hebrew language? Anybody have a column note or a reference that tells us what the name Uzziah means? Uzziah's name in the Hebrew means strength is the Lord. You see that Yah ending, I-A-H? That's a reference to the Lord, to Jehovah. And the prefix carries with, the root word carries with it the idea of strength. So he was named Strength is in the Lord. Now, every time his name would be mentioned, it would be a reminder. It's almost like my name. My name is Daniel. And in the Hebrew language, that means God is judge. If I take real consideration of my name, would that not be a great reminder that my God is a judge? Ooh. So I better be careful how I live. And I need to live up to my name. So Amaziah names, Uzziah's mother named him, the Lord is strength. Well, that proves to be true as he begins his reign. How old is he when he starts ruling and reigning in his life? How old is he as he becomes king of Israel? How old? 16. Johnny, how old are you?
17.
How old are you, Ruth? 15. How would you like, Johnny, to be the king of a whole nation?
I don't know.
A lot. What do you think? That'd be a lot to handle, wouldn't it? Well, Uzziah, he becomes king at only 16 years of age. Now, the wonderful, beautiful thing about his life, when you look down, he was 16-year-old. His mother's name was Jechaliah from Jerusalem. Is that of any real significance where his mother originated? It is. Because it also indicates that his mother is not from a foreign, or his mother is completely Jewish and from the capital city. So he has a pretty good start, don't you think? He's got a name, he's got a heritage, he's got a mother who has roots right there. He's got a lot of things going for him. He also has something else. When you look in verse number 4, who'd read verse number 4? Who's there? Verse number 4. Mary? Okay. So dad's influence must have rubbed off to a degree because it says that he did right. And in doing right, verse number 5, continue on, Mary. Verse number 5 says something else about this. Oh, you might want to underline this verse. You might want to consider this verse because what is said about Uzziah in this day is also very true for us in our day. He did right, and kind of what the Hebrew language is doing is expanding on what it means to do right. It says he sought the Lord. What does it mean to seek the Lord? You see the places in Scripture where it was mentioned before. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15, this is Asa. And then Jehoshaphat later on is one who had sought the Lord and caused the people to seek the Lord. Remember what, by the way, before we answer the question, remember what Asa determined to do? If people did not seek the Lord, what was the result? That was a pretty serious thing. How would you like in our country if the President of the United States issued an executive order, a decree, that everyone must seek the Lord? If you don't seek the Lord God of heaven, the Creator God of the universe, you will be put to death. And how old? Well, here you have a 16-year-old. Now, I know Johnny's 17. But that's like in his case, he would be the king and he would be seeking the Lord. Oh, that we would have young people and older people who'd be seeking the Lord. What does it mean to seek the Lord? Does it mean, I lost the Lord, I got to find him. Oh, I better find him. Seek the Lord. Oh, give me a clue. Maybe there's a clue. I can kind of follow my clues and I'll finally get to the Lord. What does it mean to seek the Lord? What does it mean to seek the Lord?
Figure out what he would have you do.
Okay, to learn and figure out what he wants you to do. And where would you find that?
In his word.
In the Bible. Mm-hmm. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 2 for a moment. Proverbs chapter 2. Verses 3, 4, and 5. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 3, 4, and 5. Who may I ask to read that for us? Proverbs chapter 2. Alex, if you would, please.
David, thou criest after knowledge, liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as treasures, then thou
shalt
understand the fear of the Lord, find the knowledge of God.
Ah. Now, this both gives the way to seek, and the one to seek. How do you seek? As if you're looking for great treasure. I saw an article that I don't remember where it was quite discovered, but a shipwreck from 1715 with gold and silver coins were found. Oh, you know what length and depth and effort was made to find those coins? You know what? God's word is more precious than anything, gold, silver. God's word is more precious than anything else. Is it worth? Is he worth seeking after? Looking into his word, praying to him, being in the services with God's people. Are you getting to learn more about God? Now, Uzziah had another instrument, another help. You look at verse number 5. It says he sought the Lord in the days of whom? Zechariah. Who is Zechariah? He is a prophet. But he's not the prophet that was put to death earlier. This is a different man. Again, we find in numerous places in Scripture the blessing and the benefit of having a man of God, a woman of God, come alongside to minister to us and help guide us and to be a mentor. Right? And we find this man, Zechariah, he's not well known. He's not very popular. He's not written anywhere else that I know of in Scripture. And yet God uses him to be an influence upon the 16-year-old king. It says, all the days. Now, how long did Uzziah rule and reign? 52 years. That means he was 68. So from age 16 to 68, that's a pretty lengthy amount of time, isn't it? And he sought the Lord. And look at the close of that verse. Let's go back to verse number 5. Could you read that again for us? Who was that read that, Mary? Would you read that again nice and loudly for us? Just the last phrase. Yeah. A couple of words before it says, as long. You know, the condition is this, seeking the Lord, and the result is blessing. How many of you want the blessing of God, right? Amen. We want the blessing of God upon our lives. We want Him to be protecting us. We want Him to be right here with us. We want the encouragement. We just want the blessing of God. Peace, joy, satisfaction. You know, there's a process in order to get the blessing. Wouldn't it be great? All you have to do is, like, take a pill. Ah, the blessing. Can I have a blessing pill, please? Can I have a prescription for extra blessings? Yeah, I know. Wouldn't that be great? But it says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. You can't invert that. I'll be prospered, then I'll seek the Lord. Ain't gonna happen like that. Folks, let me implore you to seek for God's blessing by seeking who the Lord is. I challenge the children downstairs. I said, how do you know that God is real? Well, you can't see him because he's pure spirit, right? Yeah. The Bible tells us. I said, great. How else? We can see what he does. Look at creation. Look at us. Proof that there's a God. Now, if there is a God, that means he can be known. And that means we seek him. I fear in my own personal life, if the blessing of God is going to vanish or deteriorate, it's likely and maybe strongly such that it's because I stopped seeking the Lord. How often do we have to seek the Lord? Sunday morning, 10:45, we seek the Lord on that morning service, and that's good, and I'm good for a week, right? No. How often do you eat? I'll be careful with that. I may be just not, don't answer that. Some of us like to eat more often than others, and some of it shows very well. But you know, if we don't eat, what happens to us? Will you be physically prospered? You will not. So the idea here is, and I would apply, I'm going to go right to you, John, again. If you want the blessing of God to rule this nation as the king, you've got to keep seeking the Lord. Isn't it no wonder that one of the requirements for the king is to make his own copy of what? He was to make his own copy of the Bible. He had a personalized copy, and it was probably in his own script, unless he had somebody else do it for him. And that would be so meaningful. Folks, we have so many Bibles. We have Bible apps. We have Bible on video. We have Bible on audio. We have Bible all over the place. But is the Bible here? Moving on. Now that I'm done meddling there. So he gains assistance as he's able to help. Now look at some of the prosperity and what takes place. He prospered, verse 6. I'm going to put it up on the screen for you because we can see by the map. He went forth and he warred against the Philistines. The idea is in this whole empire, you can see the Philistines to the west. They were an enemy. They were ones who really took after and really wanted to defeat Israel, destroy them. And then you have Ammon, that's up to the directly east. And then you have Edom, who is directly to the south. You have the Egyptians and the other different African nations. And they all wanted to destroy Israel. But it says, look at verse number 7. I should have circled this. And God helped him. Right smack in the middle of this. Why would God help him? Well, obviously, the covenant people. But because he was seeking God, he and God were like this. And because he was seeking God, and he was walking with God, he was doing right for God, God was blessing him. God blessed him not only within the nation, but God blessed him when it came to the battles. And when you look down at verse number 9, as we pick it up there, we see another way in which his kingdom was prospering. Who'd read verse number 9? Who's there? Noel, thank you. Yeah, what are towers? What would these towers be? Okay, fortifications. And because the cities in the old ancient times were greatly defensed with the walls that surrounded them. And so what he would do is he would not only just build the walls, but he would put a tower, a watchtower, if you will, and he would put sentries at different places. What would that do for you as a citizen of that particular city if you knew there were walls and also there were watchmen? Comfort. Who's he thinking of here? Is he thinking to build his own ego? Is he thinking of just making himself a name? I don't think so. By the way, when you seek the Lord, your attention is directed away from yourself. And your attention is directed back to him and others. Yeah, that's the servant leadership. I think we heard that preached just the other week, last week, this past Sunday. Servant leadership. I don't know. But that is a great model. A tremendous model. And you know, if you want, say for instance, for your family, or for your neighbors, or for other people around you. You want them to find a level of comfort, encouragement, security. You walk with God. You live for God. It's going to come forth out of your life. And it can be a calming effect upon the weary. It could be an encouraging effect upon the discouraged. And you could be a blessing to other people just by your walk with God. What a great way to minister. You come to church on a Sunday, a Wednesday, a Sunday night, and you greet somebody, how are you doing? How can I pray for you? How can I help you? Or how was your day? We can be a blessing to other people. And may God help us to do that. One of the things I see, and I look around from our church people, I see that happening a lot. Just people encouraging each other and building each other up in the faith. Okay, so one of the things about this help from God, I wrote down a thought here. The word help, it's the idea of God's strengthening him to enable him to be victorious. Do you know somebody else who cried out for help? His great-grandfather. Asa cried unto the Lord. Actually, more than just his great-grandfather. It goes back. And he said, Lord, it is nothing with you to help with many or few, with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest in Thee. In Thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, Thou art our God. Let no man prevail against Thee. You see how he starts off? He cries unto the Lord for help. But then he ends it. No one's able to prevail over you. He doesn't say no one's able to prevail over me. He says no one's able to prevail over you. Now, if no one's able to prevail over God, then that means no one's going to be able to prevail over him. The help that we seek, by the way, folks, the help that we seek, yes, there are crises, and yes, there are trials and difficulties and dangers and troubles. But the cry for help is not always, please deliver me from these things. Please take these away. Please, Lord, remove these things. As much as it is, Lord, help me to watch you bring me through these. Lord, help me to trust you. Help me to see your magnificent hand prevailing. Isn't that what Asa prays? I think he does. And one of the beautiful things, I mentioned this from the before in the lesson, I think this comes from the lesson on Asa. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Would you say that the enemies of Uzziah were at peace with him? I would say so, because when you look at the rest of this passage of Scripture and you're going down, not only did build the mighty walls, but you look down in verse number 12 through verse number 15, where his army and the inventions, and they paid tribute for 50 some years. Paul.
Can I ask a logistical question?
Okay. Yeah.
How does he convey that message to all those men going back? And they're repeating his message.
Well, the artistic expression here, I think these are the enemy armies. Because when Asa was being attacked in his army, they were greatly outnumbered. And I think he's standing facing them. While he's facing them, he's praying to God. I think that's the slide. Yeah. And we would do something very similar. Because are there times we're faced with insurmountable odds? Are there times we feel like it's stacked against us? Do we ever find that there's no hope? Do you ever feel like there's just no way out of here? That's when we, Lord, and we could do that in the face of whatever we're facing. Lord, you know. Lord, you see. Lord, you're aware. And sometimes we just stand back and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. And that's where times God takes over. What a great God. Now, let me just say this. This is the formula for blessing for the believer in Jesus Christ. You're here tonight, you're saved. You're here tonight, you know Jesus, you've been saved. Guess what? This is the victory promise, and it all is predicated upon my walking with God, my seeking Him, my trusting Him, my depending on Him, my knowing Him through His Word, my yielding to Him because being saved, I have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of me, my praying to Him. Oh, look at how much of a focus is on God. And that's really what our lives are all about. Okay, let's continue. So we see he is also very industrious. When you go down to verse number 9 and 10, let's read verses 9 and 10. Well, we read verse 9, verse 10. He built many towers in the desert, digged many wells, very much cattle, both in the low country, in the plains. Husbandmen, that's our translation I'm using. What is a husbandman? A farmer. someone who's involved in agriculture. And moreover, now I'm going to look down further where it says, and he loved the soil. I think that's over in the 1 Kings 15 parallel passage. This man, Uzziah, was not only victorious in his battles, but he was industrious when it came to research and development, when it came to agriculture. And the whole nation became very prosperous, and it was in large part, and probably only part, he sought the Lord. He sought the Lord. And look what God did for him. And look what God did for the nation. Well, you go down even further, and it says in verse 14, he had a host of mighty men, fighting men. They went up to war by bands according to the number of their account by the hand of Jael, the scribe, Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number, the chief of the fathers of mighty men of valor, were 2,600. These are like the captains. These are like maybe like your Green Beret, Army Ranger types, Navy SEALs, cream of the crop. Under their hand was an army, 300,000, 7,500. They made war with mighty power to help the king. So his army was very strong and formidable. And it says, Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears. They were well equipped. Helmets, harbergans, bows, slings. Now look at verse 15. Who'd read verse 15? Who's there? Verse number 15. Who'd read verse number 15, Jack? So here you have another invention that he had made. It says he made engines. That's the word here. Or the word devices. Now, we don't know exactly what they were. They may have been catapults, or there may have been some special way in which warfare was conducted so they could shoot arrows and be defended. But he was kind of the lead, cutting-edge army developer when it came to weaponry. Remember years ago, under the President Ronald Reagan era, 1980s, they made the B-1 stealth bomber. Remember that? Everybody was really troubled because how much did it cost to build one stealth bomber back in that day? Do you remember? I think it was $1 billion. $1 billion just for one. And they asked him, President Reagan, why are we spending so much money on these particular things and all this, the stealth bomber? And his reply was, so that we never have to use it. Because if the enemies knew what we had, you don't go up against the Americans, not with that B-1, that stealth bomber. Whoa. It can fly, and we won't even know it's coming. You know how intimidating that would be? If there's... But nevertheless, he was very industrious. Verse 16. Who'd read the very first verse? I'm sorry, very first word. Verse 16, let's say it together. But. Everything is going great. Everything is going well. He's seeking the Lord. God is blessing. God's been abundantly gracious. The nation has been well blessed, and agriculture is booming, and military is mighty, and the borders are secured. But let's finish the verse. When he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. What does it sound like to you? Cocky? What else? Pride? What else? Yeah, overly confident. And one more thing. He replaces God with himself. You know the danger for you and me when things are all going well? Thank you, God. I got it. I'll take over for here. Ooh. Or let me just coast a while. You may coast. You may try to put God aside. But don't ever forget a couple of things. Number one, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. He never takes a break. And when you're coasting and you put God aside, you start looking pretty tasty to the devil himself. Number two, you still have a sin nature that you wrestle with. And it says he was lifted up in pride. Proverbs 16:18 says this, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. Who wrote that, by the way? Solomon. You go back in the line of descent and you come all the way back to King Solomon. Pride goes before destruction. This is one of the reasons why we need to avoid pride. How would you avoid pride, by the way? What steps can you take to avoid pride in your life? Okay, stay humble. That's one good thing. And to stay humble, you're acknowledging what? Yeah. Being humble means I acknowledge that all that I am and all I have is because of God. What else can you do to avoid pride? Pray. When you're praying, you're further expressing your dependence upon God. What else can you do to maintain or to prevent yourself from becoming proud?
Put God and others first.
Okay, put God and others first, yeah. What else? How about being thankful? Being thankful is a good way to avoid pride. Why is that? Because when I am thanking, I am giving credit to God for what I have and what I receive. If I'm unthankful, I can start feeling pretty entitled. I can start becoming Nebuchadnezzarian. Remember, look at this great Babylon I have built. Look at me. So the opposite of pride is humility, a dependence upon the Lord. And it says, go ahead, Paul. Yes. Okay. Right. Yeah, good point. You can have a pride of achievement. Okay. Say, for instance, anybody ever get a promotion at work? Okay. Yeah. So you take pride in that, but you don't become proud because of it. Okay. So if you make a football team or you make first string or if you pass a test or you maybe perhaps whatever else you can say that is success and you can take pride in that, but don't become proud to the point you exclude God. Does that make sense? Say it again. Well, that is, you're right. Yeah. So he could have been proud of accomplishments, but he
cut out God.
Yeah, he did. I think that's what happened here. Yeah. And you know, any one of us can be there. Any one of us. I know as a pastor, it could happen. I've known many a men in ministry, they have fallen because they had started believing what people have said. Oh, pastor, that was a great message. Yeah. Oh, pastor, that is just wonderful. I know. Yeah. Keep it on.
Yeah,
what? Good message, pastor. I know. And all of a sudden, you start doing that. And there is something about, you know, compliments. But all the credit and glory goes to God. Good message, pastor. Yep, to God be the glory. Wow, that was a beautiful service. I know Lily mentioned and a couple others. Pastor, that was such a beautiful service. Yep, to God be the glory. I'm just an instrument in his hands. May God get all the glory. And somebody may compliment you. And somebody may praise you. That was a great Sunday school lesson. That was a great junior church you did. Man, that was great the way you arranged those shelves at Home Depot. Or that was great that case you just held. That was a great prayer you prayed Sunday morning to open the service. On and on we could go. And if we start saying, yeah, well, I know. Well, we can say, yeah, praise the Lord. You can acknowledge the compliment without becoming proud and arrogant. And that's a delicate balance. But it is a balance we need to strike. Okay, so let's finish it up here this evening. We now go down further. Azariah the priest. Let's go back. What was this pride? What did it lead him to do? We'll finish the rest of verse number 16. Who's there would finish the rest of the verse? Jack, if you would, please. He did a very big no-no. You ever tell your children, no, you know, don't go in there. Matter of fact, when you look at this particular portion, you see the altar of incense? The altar of incense was something that, who were the only ones who were allowed? The priests. What was Uzziah? Was he a priest? He was a king. So why would he take it upon himself to go into the forbidden area, only restricted to the priests, and to do an action, a good action, right? Why would he do this? I would surmise that as a king, he was going to follow after what some of these other kings were doing who tried to centralize all the powers. When it came to priestly powers, when it came to magisterial powers, when it came to ruling powers, when it came to economic powers, he wanted to consolidate that. And it wasn't good enough for him for the priests to do their duty. Now look what happens. You go to verse number 17. Verse 17 says what? Noel? You know, again, I would say the real beauty here is they didn't let the king get away with it. Even though the king was an authority, the king was wrong. Azariah, the high priest, along with 80 other priests. Now, you're talking a huge number. I probably got pretty crowded in here. But Uzziah should have done what? Thank you, guys. You guys are right. I don't belong in here. Thank you for loving and caring enough for me and for the people that you would correct me. Should that not be? Can I ask you a question? How do you respond in the face of correction? How do you respond when you have to be rebuked for being in a place you don't need to be or doing something you're not supposed to do? Or to do something that you have been told to do and you haven't done. Are we teachable? Well, Uzziah. Verse 18, and they withstood Uzziah the king, said, it appertains not unto you, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. Neither shall it be for your honor from the Lord God. They give him a warning with scripture. They give an ample rebuke, a loving rebuke, and a warning. Can you think of anybody else who abused their positions and offered strange fire to the Lord? Aaron's two sons, Nadab and Abihu, they took their censer, put fire in, and put their incense thereon, offered strange fire, which God commanded them not. And guess what? God struck them down. What happens to Uzziah here? God strikes him with leprosy. You know what leprosy is? Leprosy in this time was a contagious, hideous, disgraceful disease. To the point that when you had leprosy, you were isolated. You were set apart. You could not be among the general population. And if you were near people, You'd have to say, unclean, unclean. And people would deliberately walk upwind from you. So if the wind's blowing this way and you said unclean, you don't want to be down here. It said Uzziah lives the rest of his days in basically an infirmary asylum unto the day of his death. Now, we don't know exactly when this happened, but it may have been 10 years. Then Jotham, his son, becomes king. Folks, as we look at the life of Uzziah, a couple of thoughts to take away. Number one, start out right, seek God, stay right, and keep seeking God. You're never, ever going to get too close to God that you don't need to keep seeking him. You're not going to get too familiar with God that you can't know him better. Number two, when you see great success, give all the glory to God. Number two, stay away from the areas you don't belong in. And number four, when you need to be corrected, you need to be rebuked, graciously accept it. Because your success for God is dependent on these things. Any final comments, questions, thoughts before we wrap it up and pray? Any final thoughts? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for what we can learn through the life of Uzziah. Lord, I pray that we would all start out and stay and continue right, doing right, seeking you, living for you, walking with you. And oh God, I pray that we'd ever be humble, not caught up in pride, so that we might enjoy the blessings. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. I trust it has been a blessing to your heart. As mentioned at the beginning of this recording, let me take the opportunity to share with you how you can know God personally by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've not done so already. Thankfully, God reveals in the Bible that you can have the absolute confidence, a full assurance of eternal life in heaven. I invite you to click on the Salvation tab on the homepage and read the gospel message, or call me at the church office at 908-788-2672 to talk about God's gift of eternal life. Also, we welcome you to visit any of our services here at Heritage Baptist Church at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, just off State Highway 12 in Flemington, New Jersey. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:30 a.m., followed by our morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. Our evening service is at 6 p.m., and our Wednesday prayer time, Bible study, and children's ministry begins at 7 p.m. Thanks again, and have a great day for His glory, honor, and praise.